There's two songs that just never get old. Amazing Grace and that one right there. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21 for our thoughts this morning. Genesis chapter 21, let's begin with verse 9. I'll give you a moment to get there. Everybody there? All right. Beginning in verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, lift up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and this time. Thank you for this privilege and honor and opportunity to stand before your people and share your holy and blessed word. Father, as I stand before your people today, Lord, just speak to our hearts through your word. Let your word, Lord, have its way in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, may we be obedient to your word, and may we grow and mature in Christ. Lord, after all, that's why you saved us, Lord, to be more like Christ. Father, we pray that you'd speak to hearts here this morning. Lord, you know condition of everyone here. You know our hearts, you know our spiritual condition, and we just pray, Lord, you'll take this message as I break the bread of life. You'll just give me the words to say and let me speak with boldness and authority those truths, that your word will penetrate the hearts and make us, Lord, be obedient, do those things your word would have us to do. Lord, if there's one amongst us that knows you not, may they be found under conviction, and may they be drawn to the cross. There they will meet Christ before it's too late to save. Again, may your people be encouraged in the word. Lord, those that are going through things, Lord, we're so thankful that you're faithful to us. Lord, you answer prayer and you hear it. The Lord, again, bless the breaking of the bread of life. Lord, just remove anything in my life, in my heart, in my mind that would hinder me from speaking on those things lead me to say this morning. Which in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to begin by saying I love the Bible. How about you? And in this word, there are some great things. Amen. I mean, it teaches us about love and grace and salvation and God's favor. It teaches us that we can have faith and trust God. But also this book has some things in it that I just shake my head. Although it doesn't, well, what it does do is it shows you that God is sovereign. He can handle anything. But, you know, you read some of these stories and you think, wow, that's almost impossible. Not with God. With man, yeah, it's impossible. But not with God. And I'm glad He put those in the Scriptures because it encourages me. Now, we know Abraham is a father of faith, right? That's what he's known for, his faith. Go to Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith. And he's listed several times. It was his faith that declared him righteous before God. But believe it or not, Abraham, even though he was a father of faith, he had a messed up household. Amen? Read your Bible and you'll find out that because of some of their decisions, we're still talking about the world paying for those foolish decisions. But understand, he was put in a pretty rough spot. You see, he was trying to please two women. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how you'd ever do that. Amen? You women. And I'm going to shush right there because I don't want you slapping me on the way out the door. But he's trying to please two women. It's impossible. You're welcome. But he had a headache. You see, Hagar was jealous of Sarah because of her relationship with Abraham. And Sarah was jealous of Hagar because Hagar gave Abraham Ishmael a son. So here you have these two factors going back and forth. Well, the Bible says in this occasion, as we start to read, that they're celebrating, they're having a feast or party, if you will, for Isaac because he's being weaned. In other words, he's no longer a baby, but he's probably about 3 or 4 years old. And now he's a little boy. And they're celebrating that. But the Bible tells us that, with what we read, that Ishmael began to mock him. And when Sarah saw it, she blew her stack. You know, you women sometimes can blow a stack. Amen? I know by experience. How about you, Brother Ciro? Blow a stack. So she told Abraham, get them out of here. Cast them away. Send them down the road. So, he's mocking. And as I was thinking about this and praying, God was preparing me for today, I wondered, well, why would he mock? I mean, Ishmael, it's a little baby. Why would you mock a baby? Well, I'll tell you why. Ishmael knew he was always going to be a slave. Son of a slave. You see, he wasn't an heir. He was the son of a slave. And he was jealous of that. So he mocked him. But not only was he mocking Isaac, he was also mocking God. You see, it's through Isaac that Israel became a nation. It's through Isaac that we received the promise of the coming Messiah. It's through Isaac that we have salvation. And here, he's mocking. God doesn't take that lightly. See, what it boils down to, by mocking Isaac, he was mocking God himself. He was mocking his power and his purpose and his plan. And he was mocking his people. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You best be careful when it comes to talking about the Jews. You hear me? That's God's chosen people. You don't ever mock them or talk about them or curse them, because if you do, the Bible says, I'll bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you. You better be careful. And America better wake up. We got politicians out there that are mocking the Jews. Listen, vote them out of office and take a stand and say, oh, you're not going to talk that way. I better move on. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Listen to me. No doubt, Abraham loved Ishmael. It was his son. And he had feelings for Hagar. Now, he loved Sarah. That was his wife. But he still had feelings for Hagar because, after all, she was the mother of his child. Okay? And here, Sarah's saying, get them out. Drive them away. That's what that word means. Cast them out. Drive them away. So he's got these feelings. And look at what the word says. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight. And by the way, that word grievous means he was shaken to the core. He was miserable that he had been put in a position where he had to cast them out. But isn't it just like the Lord to say, hey, Abraham, I have a plan. I have a plan. There's a better day coming. So listen to what he says. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay? So, God is telling Abraham, no, send them out. I think that was a rough day. That would have been rough, I'm sure. Make a choice of sending your child out. In fact, we wouldn't even think about that today. We'd think, that's so crazy, that's so cruel. We can't do that to a child. Even though today we may not think that we could, God had a plan and a purpose. And the reason that child had to be sent away was so that the true heir of promise would come. And not only that, you thought that was a rough day for Abraham? Go to the next chapter. For the sake of time, we won't go there, but the next chapter, God commands Abraham to offer Isaac at Mount Moriah. Think about that. So that's a pretty bad day, huh? And can I just say, you and I have lots of bad days and good days. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're here. Sometimes we're on the mountain. Other times we're in the valley. That is life. Life is that way, and we don't always understand why we go through what we go through in life, but understand God has a plan and a purpose. God had a plan and a purpose. Listen, this is a test for Abraham. God says, send them out. Had Abraham said, I'm not doing it, Lord. I'm not sending my son Ishmael out into the wilderness. Had he not sent him out, believe me, he would have never offered to sacrifice Isaac Mount Moriah. But praise God, Abraham was obedient. You see, God had a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for the world. Now, notice with me. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Well, who is Ishmael the father of? Arabs, absolutely. And they are a mighty nation. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. And as I was studying this, I thought, you know, Abraham was a pretty rich man. In fact, he had more than enough provisions to take care of Hagar and Ishmael. But he sent her with a little bread and a bottle of water. And as I thought about that, I thought, huh. You know, before he was pretty much concerned. But now God has said, no, obey my voice. I have a better plan. Now he said, okay, I'm just going to trust you, God, with him. There you go. Can I tell you, this morning you and I need to trust God for all things. Don't question him. Don't wonder. Just trust him. Because he has the answers and he has a plan for you and I. Now, he sends them away. And notice what it says here. And he gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. You see, didn't take long in the desert wandering, get thirsty. Water didn't last in that bottle very long. So now they're out of water, out of food. And she doesn't want to see her child die, so she puts Ishmael under a bush. And the Bible says that she goes a bow throw or shot off. Now, by the way, that's about 300 yards, about 1,000 feet, about how far you can shoot an arrow. And the Bible says she went and sat down over against him in the good way opposite where a bow shot, she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, lift up her voice, and wept. Y'all ever had one of them days? All you can do is cry. Those valleys. Y'all ever been there? You ever studied the book of Job? Right off the bat, chapter 1. It talks about there was a day. Chapter 2. And there was a day. You ever had one of those days? I've had several of those days in my life, in my walk with Christ, in my ministry. I've had several of those days. But I want you to understand, each time I had one of those days, I was not alone. He was there with me. You see, when he says, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, come unto me for rest. Listen, what he's telling us is we're not alone. He's in that yoke with us. And no matter what we face in life, it can be the death of a loved one. And that's tough. No doubt. Be discouraged. It can be ill health. Bad finance. Could be depression. The Lord is in the yoke with you. You're not alone. From the moment you called upon Him and trusted Him as your Savior, from that moment you have never spent 1 second alone or away from Him. No matter what you're facing, He's in the yoke with you. Now, notice with me. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now, it doesn't say that Hagar prayed. It says she went and she began to cry. Well, listen, she was a pagan. She's from Egypt. So I doubt very seriously she did any praying. But I assure you, Abraham taught his son Ishmael about God, the true and living God. And I'm sure that child prayed because the Bible says that he did. And notice what it says. And God heard the voice of who? The lad, Ishmael. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, and this is what I want you to get. What aileth thee, Hagar? I'll just ask you the same question this morning. What aileth you this morning? What are you going through this morning? I'm here to tell you that God hears us and He knows what we're going through, and He got the answer to what else. And let me say this. Notice the lad prayed. That's what we're supposed to do the moment we start going through those things. We're to run to the Lord in prayer. He is not the last one. He is not the last option. He should be the first option for a child of God. Listen, He cares for you, He loves you, and He will hear you, and He will answer you. What ails you this morning? Now, if you look at the circumstances going on with Hagar, look pretty bleak. I'll give you that. I mean, she's sent away to the wilderness with a bottle of water, a little bread, with her child. Bleak. And if you'll notice, the Bible says she left him and went and began to weep. You see, her focus was on the circumstances around her situation. You ever been there? Isn't it amazing how we always focus on those things around us, the situation, instead of focusing on God? Amen? That's where she was at. You see, she forgot that Abraham followed the true God. She forgot that not only did Abraham love God and did God bless Abraham, and Abraham served God, but listen, Abraham, she forgot all about the promise that was made to her and Abraham concerning Ishmael. He said, I'm going to make him a great nation. So really, she shouldn't have had her eyes on the circumstances. She should have just trusted God. But isn't that like us when we go through our storms of life? Our eyes aren't on His plan, His purpose, but on what is affecting us. And let me just say this, because I can speak, because I know myself. And I can speak by example. When a problem arises in my life, you know what I want to do? I want to fix it. Notice I said I want to fix it. Get in trouble trying to fix it. Usually make it a lot worse when you try to fix it. Listen, the lesson we have to learn is stop trying to fix your problems. Just give them to God and let Him handle it. Apostle Paul talked over there in 2 Corinthians. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but talked about everything that was going on as he was out proclaiming Christ. Literally, they were after him wanting to take his life. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, man, there's no way I can handle this stuff. I'm not capable. But beloved, listen. We don't have to handle it. God handles it for us. And when we think that we can't take it, or we can't handle it, or we can't do it, that's when God says, oh yes, you can by my grace. Exactly how it ought to be with us. So, she forgot, had her eyes on her circumstances. Notice what it says. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he was. Where he is. Sorry. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Did God do that? But this is what I want you to see. Because I love verse 19. Hagar and Ishmael were out of what? Water. Well, she just knew they're going to die. So verse 19 says, and God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. Understand. Instead of clinging to the bottle, she should have thrown that thing away. When she saw that well, she should have jumped in that well. Amen? Because God opened her eyes, there was a well. Now, in the Old Testament, there's two types of wells. There's an artesian well or spring that's just natural. We got them in Arkansas. I don't think there's many out here in the desert. Could be. There's also the meaning of a dug well. And that's what this means. Now, her eyes weren't open. She had her mind and her eyes and her heart set on the circumstances around her. She was blind to God meeting her needs. But God opened her eyes. And there was a dug well. Think about this. Somewhere in the past, God had to lay on a weary traveler to dig a well. Why? Because he knew at that very moment, Hagar and Ishmael would need water. God knows your circumstances. Amen? And he already has a well dug for you. See, I like that well. You see, that well to me means he's got a well of salvation for anyone that'll call upon him. He's got a well of forgiveness for anyone that'll confess their sin. He's got a well of restoration for anyone that has wandered and strayed away but has come back. He's got a well of restoration. He has a well of plenty if you're just willing to trust him, call out. So what ails you this morning? When he's got a well, what ails you? He's more than willing to give you everything you need. Everything. No matter the circumstance. There's a well. You see, he loves you. He knows who you are. He even knows what you're going through. You don't have to boo-hoo, boo-hoo. He sees. All you need to do is drop to your knees and say, God, I need some help. And I'm fully trusting and relying on you to get me through this situation. That's all you have to do. So what ails you? If you know he can fix you, handle your problem. What ails you? Hagar, what aileth you? Did God not say he was going to make that lad a mighty nation? Now, God doesn't promise to make me and you a mighty nation, but he does promise to take care of us. We just got to trust him. Say, well, I've tried and I just don't feel him. I don't see him. Hey, there's times he's in the background. You might not see his handiwork. You might not feel him around you, but he's still there. In the background. As I said a moment ago, had some traveler dig a well. And that well, this is funny, because we're just like, hey God, that well was right in front of me. And she couldn't even. It took God to open her eyes. God have to open your eyes. Get you to believe in Christ. See, the bottom line. If you belong to him, you are his, he is yours, he will take care of you. You say, well, I never have another problem. I didn't say that. In fact, do you understand why we go through what we do? Believe it or not, he allows us to go through those things to make us and fashion us after his son. And you see, whatever it's going to take to get us to where we're fashioned after his son, he will allow come into our lives. You just got to accept that. Amen? You've got to accept it. Sometimes you have to be broken. See, I haven't got to the place where the Apostle Paul got to, where no matter what state I'm in, I'm therefore content. I hadn't got there yet. I'm striving to get there. But I'm a little thick skulled. It takes me a little longer. God knows that he made me. But I've yet to get to the place where I can say, Lord, just bring it on. No, I want to stay away from trouble. I don't want to go through it. So I'm not quite there yet. Any of y'all like that? Sure you are. But God's going to use what he has to get me there and get you there. So, in close. What else? There shouldn't be nothing that else. You have the Lord, you have everything. You can trust him. He's there. As I said, he's in the yoke with me, and he's in the yoke with you. You belong. You're not alone. I'll throw this in and won't charge in close. God is not, and I want y'all to get this, God is not going to richly and truly bless any of us until he has to allow us to go through some form or fashion of pain. Does everybody understand that? That's important, y'all. Get that. If you don't get nothing else, get that. We can't truly become the saints of God that God wants us to become until we go through some pain. So I'm praying when that pain comes, and it will. Some of you have already been through that. Some of you are going through it, even as I speak. And some of you are headed for it. It's going to come. Don't do like Hagar. Just run up under a tree and just sit there and bawl. No, run to Jesus. And trust. We all suffer. But oh, listen to me. There's coming a day. All that'll be done away with. There'll be no more pain and suffering. We're going to be around the throne. And you know what? We're all going to be exactly what he fashioned us to be. Conformed in the image of his son. That's good stuff, even if it's from an old hick. That works. You know why? Because this book teaches that. This book is the holy word of God. So I encourage you. Trust Him and trust this book to guide you. What else? Let God open your eyes to a well that He has.